Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035, phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hans, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept. If listeners have not seen the movie Matrix, Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men, God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up of his holy habitation." Today I'm going to continue with the chilling significance of Pope John Paul's October 22, 1996 address. And this is about the One World Church by Wilson Uwin. This is a continuation of the One World Church by Wilson Uwin. And I'm going to start with the final role of Marxist Church. Averill Manhattan, famous author of some 60 books, was born in Italy with a Swiss-Dutch father and an American mother. Starting his education in Switzerland, Averill attended the Sorbonne in Paris and the London School of Economics, a Marxist training center, renowned as a world authority on politics and in religion in general, but especially the Catholic Church in that arena. Manhattan has been described as the greatest historian of the Vatican. The Baron was made a Knight of Malta for having operated Radio Freedom, whose broadcast covered occupied Europe during World War II. Averill was also a Knight of the House of Savoy, a Knights Templar, and a Knight of Order of Mercedes. He wrote 20 books on Roman Catholicism. Before he died in 1990, Manhattan wrote, "By adopting Catholicized Marxism, the Catholic Church has launched into the contemporary world with most insidiously destructive religio-ideological imponderable, the like of which has never been seen since the emergence of the Bolshevism or fascism. The deadliest opponent of the Catholic Church until yesterday was communism. Today, the power elite of the same communist system has become her allies. Communism and Catholicism have come boldly to the fore to meet the demands of the masses. They believe they have given the answer to their dangerous new partnership. Whether the combination will succeed or not, no one knows at this point in history. Planning ecumenical strategy. To many evangelists, Billy Graham is an enigma, a mystery, baffling, and a puzzle. Is he a Roman Catholic? At the Vatican's Belmont Abbey College, North Carolina, he said, "The gospel that built this school and the gospel that brings me here tonight is still the way to salvation." Gastonian Gazette, November 22, 1967. Opening his ecumenical North American Key 73 crusade, Graham commented on the biography of Pope the 23rd. Speaking of the book's presentation of the Pope's devotion to Mary and the saints, the evangelist called this a classic of devotion. In Milwaukee on October 21, 1973, Graham said, "This past week, I preached in a great Catholic cathedral, and as I sat there going through the funeral mass, that was a very beautiful thing and certainly straight and clear in the gospel, I believe. A picture taken at the famous Polish shrine of the Black Madonna in 1978 shows Graham welcoming pilgrims to worship their Virgin. Decision, February 79. A six-page report of the evangelist September 8th through 13, 1969, United States Congress on Evangelism in Minneapolis States. I can say no less than that Billy Graham Association is one of the strongest forces aiding the ecumenical One World Church movement today. It is doing what no other organization has been able to do, bring evangelicals into the ecumenical orbit. This was said by Dr. Merrill Hull, editor of the GARBC Bulletin, page 22, Evangelism, the Trojan Horse of 1990s. Speaking of Billy Graham, he was advertised in the early days on the internet by a Masonic website as one of their famous celebrated members. His sermons are repeated daily on TBN still to this day. I have an audio tape where he stated off stage that we all need to be arm in arm, admitting his ecumenical stand. He originally founded an ecumenical movement in Switzerland, hidden from the American believers. The cue was, come as you are, what you believe didn't matter. After the sermons, people were sent back to their own churches. There were a number of ecumenical organizations. Where evangelicals were invited to join, and they did. I was shocked to see Lutherans begging the Pope to grant them full membership. The Mormons were trying to join but were refused. Little did they know that the Catholic Church and the Jesuits were behind these organizations since their name was not published. Assisi, First Call for the Global Church, Ecumenism Far Advanced by 1986. Pope John XXIII opened his ecumenical councils in October 1962, speaking of its aim to promote global unity, even among those who are outside the fold. Strategy shows Pope John Paul II welcoming 160 leaders, including evangelicals of world religion, to Assisi, Italy. This November 1986, even at St. Francis Basilica, was a historic step in achieving the global unity of ecumenism. However, that unity was not what other popes had in mind. Their dogmas and encyclicals and councils had restricted such unity to an acceptance of church teaching by all concerned. A refusal to conform to this had caused religious wars and martyrdom and millions across the previous 900 years. But the advance of atheistic Marxism obliged the unchangeable Vatican to make radical modifications. To the honor of the Catholic faithful, Assisi, 1986, revealed separated brethren to mean all members of the world's religions. The reading of this booklet will be continued next week, and this transcript will be published on the website www.cephas-radio.com. You can subscribe to our monthly newsletter that's free at go-cephas.com. Thanks for listening. God be with you. Shalom. Rita Williams at cephasministry.com.